Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Green Lantern number 49, cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Gil Kane, edited by Julius Schwartz. Featuring The Spectacular Robberies of TV's Master Villain, written by John Broom, art by Gil Kane and Sid Green. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go, go! After learning that his friend Barry Allen has finally married Iris West, Hal Jordan decides to propose to Carol Ferris. But before Hal can pop the question, Carol explains that she is now engaged to the wealthy Jason Belmore. On his way home, Hal sees a UFO. He investigates and discovers it to be a costumed criminal known as the Dazzler. Somehow, Green Lantern's ring proves ineffective against the crook and the Dazzler escapes. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go.
Go.
Everybody rattle, dazzle. Everybody rattle, dazzle. Everybody rattle, dazzle. If it's all night long. Now here's a dance.
Whack-a-doo, whack-a-doo.
Everyone can do.
Whack-a-doo, whack-a-doo.
It's the hipster's dance.
Whack-a-doo, whack-a-doo.
And the square cuts too.
Whack-a-doo, whack-a-doo.
Won't you take a chance? This is all you do.
Whack-a-doo, whack-a-doo.
You just take your baby. Don't you leave that spot. Then you dance real crazy. Give it all you've got. That's the razzle-dazzle. If you're ready or not.
Ah, apologies, listener.
What?
For the gentle sylvan breezes and joyous birdsong you'll hear in the background. We've got the windows open here in the recording studio.
Yes, it's the
spare bedroom.
It's the hellish cacophony of spring.
And the delightful odor of manure permeating the country neighborhood whence we live.
Yes, we do live in the country, and it is this time of year, and again, I think in the fall, they spread tractors full of manure through a manure spreader over the fields that surround us, and it permeates the air. Now, we have had a couple days of rain before today, so I think it did an effective job of washing most of it out. But because it was a dry day today, I sprayed my homemade weed killer.
That's what I thought I smelled.
Yes.
Vinegar when I drove
vinegar
up.
And salt and dish detergent on the little patio portions. I sprayed that on there. So it's very strong. It'll be gone tomorrow. But yeah. And it's, I don't know why, but all I had for Epsom salt was lavender Epsom salt. Like you put it in bath
for
muscle aches. So it smells bizarre. It's that strong smell of vinegar and then a slight sense of perfume. It's kind of gross.
It probably smells better than manure.
Yes. It's pretty strong. Anyway, it'll be gone within 24 hours.
And you know, when you see those giant sprinklers out in the fields,
mm-hmm.
that's manure water.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Yeah. Reclaimed what sort of manure.
So don't, you know, try to go frolic in the sprinklers.
No, but isn't it beautiful outside? It's just lovely.
Well, it's cloudy. It was sunny every second of me driving here from DC until I got right here.
And you've had such a long day. You were up.
I
had the craziest dreams after you left this morning. I had fever dreams. It was insane. I dreamt about the house we all lived in Ormond Beach,
mm-hmm.
and your mother, and after your father passed, and us consolidating the house and selling things and getting your mother into
the condo, and your sisters were there, and it was just like every single room had stacks and stacks and boxes and everything, and it was just chaos. And your younger sister was playing such tricks on me. And I was amused by the tricks, actually.
Sure.
But it was fun.
Did you take the opportunity in your dream to change the past and not drag every antique in history up here throughout the past 25 years?
Well, interesting thing. You did not want to take anything but an embroidered set of cushions, which were to sit in a window seat, which we didn't have in our apartment.
Were they Aunt Lula's embroidered cushions?
Probably. They were very much like the chairs that she did that we have still.
Sure.
And I was just saying, of all the things, do you want to take those? And you said, don't question me. Don't question me.
Well, they're Aunt Lula's embroidered cushions.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, and then I had a political dream, and it was just very disturbing, so I don't want to talk about it.
I don't mind having the antiques, honestly, for much longer, but...
We have too many things now.
I do have one regret.
What?
When my parents were moving from Ohio to Florida,
mm-hmm.
there was this photo album of pictures of my grandmother, Mrs. White, when she was a teenager in the aughts.
Okay.
What do you call those?
The aughts? I don't know.
Before World War I, mm-hmm. she was a teenager, and there's a photo album full of pictures of her and her friend, Reen Palmer,
uh-huh.
and of her boyfriend, Lewis, who was an actor, and so he had his publicity photo where he just had shoe-polished black hair
uh-huh.
and dark, dark lipstick and a cigarette holder in his mouth. And my mother threw that photo album away. You know, she wasn't sentimental a bit.
No, she wasn't. Not at all.
I watched her put it in the garbage, and why I didn't snatch it right out, I'll never know.
I know. I would love to have had those photos blown up and framed.
Same, girl. Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah.
Well, I had a busy day. I was at church, as you know.
Yes, I know.
And came home.
Mm-hmm.
We're preparing now to go out for the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get anyone's hopes up, but we are preparing to launch a second podcast in collaboration with someone else. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
It'll be nerd friendly. Don't panic.
Speaking of nerds, what did we do last night?
We went to see Dune.
Dune 2. Yes.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading about that this morning.
Yes.
It's the same thing with Dune 2. Like, he made Dune 1 without any expectation that there would be a sequel. And so Warner Brothers greenlit the sequel because it took off in the theaters, right?
Oh, right, right, right.
And now he did the same thing. He made Dune Part 2 and ended it on a cliffhanger. No spoilers.
Right.
And there's no plan to make Dune 3, but of course, if it's a success, of course, Warner Brothers will sign off on it. No!
Wow.
I know.
Wow. It must be a very expensive movie to make.
I should think so.
It looks like it's expensive.
Well, I don't know. You just have to trot out in the desert and then put CGI crap into it. It couldn't be that expensive.
Yeah, it's a pretty difficult movie to make, I'm sure.
Well, we can do it with AI now.
No, okay.
Next one can just type in.
Well, those actors are in the desert actually doing those scenes.
Yes, yeah, but now we have the technology now that they could just be in their bedroom or something. We could merge, like COVID, when we did the virtual choirs. Just everybody can roll out of bed and film their scene, and then AI can match it all together.
Oh, okay.
We can put Joan Crawford in it. She could play the Tizat Satterak.
Betty Davis could play the Reverend Mother.
Yes. Who's that little girl? Virginia Weidler, Little Mary and the Women.
Uh-huh.
She could be the creepy baby that gets born.
Aaliyah.
Yeah, whatever. I don't remember anyone's name.
Okay.
Except for Paul and Jessica.
Jessica.
And Duncan Idaho.
It's the year 10,000, blah, 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 in the future. And the two main characters' names are Paul and Jessica.
It's like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Marjorie. Jeff and Marjorie. Well, who do we have here? Hal Jordan.
Yes, Hal Jordan. And who's he going to... He's going to battle, but the Dazzler.
The Dazzler. Not that Dazzler, everyone. Don't get excited.
No, Warner Brothers. Oh, my God. Marvel. Sorry.
This is a male Dazzler. Who is he? What is he? I can't tell you now, but I will give you a little hint. He loves live theater. Live theater is back. Green Lantern, number 49. December 1966,
Story by John Broom, art by Gil Kane and Sid Green.
Straight out of a new and popular television show catapulted a criminal with powers that not even ring-wielding Green Lantern could match.
Mm-hmm.
Whence came these fantastic powers?
And what was the real identity behind the bizarre facade of this extraordinary evildoer?
The Emerald Gladiator had his hands full, as shown, trying to solve
the spectacular robberies of TV's master villain.
Terrific splash page, as per usual, with Gil Kane.
Great ass drawings of Green Lantern.
Let's just launch right in, shall we?
Sure. Returning from an outer space mission, Green Lantern finds unusual news waiting for him.
It's his mechanic friend, Tom Kalmaku. They call him Pie Face in the comics, but we're not going to utter that word again.
No, we're going to call him Tom.
This letter came while you were away, GL, addressed to Hal Jordan. Tom knows that Green Lantern is Hal Jordan, of course.
It's from my friend, Barry Allen. It's a wedding invitation. I'm invited to the wedding of Barry and Iris West.
But look at the date. The ceremony took place 2 days ago while you were away. Well, of course, in checkered past time, it took place, what, about six months ago?
He says, that's right. I missed it. Ah, too bad. I'll have to send Barry and Iris a nice present when I think they're actually gone and done it. I'm sorry, I'm distracted.
What's happened?
Well, the walkers are walking by and the window's open.
The walkers?
The walkers.
Is Butler not barking?
No, not yet.
Is her hair bouncing?
Yes, it's bouncing.
Okay.
There we go.
Of course, their farm is the source of a lot of this manure smell.
Yeah. Well, that... Okay, some of it, yes. Yes.
Yes.
We're surrounded by farmland. Anyway, so, that's right. I missed it. Ah, too bad. I'll have to send Barry and Iris a nice present when I think they've actually gone and done it.
Yep.
But I wonder, has Barry told his wife he's the Flash?
Listener, he has not.
Mm-mm.
The Flash kept a major part of his life secret from his wife. But as I believe we've discussed, he talks in his sleep. So she's going to find out because he's talking in his sleep. Later, on the street where Tom lives, they are heading home and he says...
He's married?
He's married to Turga.
Tom and Turga.
She won't be home till late tonight, so why don't you come up, Hal? I'll rustle up some grub.
He says, no thanks. This may be an important evening for me. I've been thinking about it for a long time, and I guess the news of Barry's wedding triggered my decision. I'm going to ask Carol to marry me. I'm not going to wait any longer.
Jumping fish hooks. You see, Tom's an Inuit gentleman, and so his exclamations all have to do with fishing or the barren North Pole.
Of course, because any way that we can find to trivialize his identity.
Sure.
Yeah.
So off Hal goes to Carol's to propose to her. That came out of nowhere.
No. He wishes him the best of luck. So, our next page, later in the home, in the garden of Carol Ferris's home.
At last we're alone together, Carol.
I'm glad you came over tonight, Hal, because there's something special I must tell you. Listen, it happened while you were away. I met
a man! It's exclamation point.
I met a man. His name is Jason Belmore. He's handsome and wealthy. We had what I guess you'd call a whirlwind courtship. All of these are ended with an exclamation. Do you want me to scream at the end of all these? I'm not going to.
No.
And the upshot of the matter is, Hal, I've promised to marry him. I can see you're very disappointed. I know how you felt about me, but you've been away so much, and I've hardly seen you. Jason and I seem so suited to each other. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I understand.
Let's always be friends. Hal...
We will, Carol. I wish you and the lucky man the best of happiness. But then in the very next panel, look at him driving away, that scowl on his face.
Oh, he's angry. And she's going, why is it?
Watching Hal go now makes me think of Green Lantern and my longtime crush on him.
No, I don't know, Carol. Why would that be?
That's part of the past. Oh, well. Now I'm to become Mrs. Jason Belmore. A part of my life is over.
La-di-da. Who is Mrs. Jason Belmore, I'd like to know.
I don't know. And that's the last we hear of Carol. That's the last we hear of Carol, isn't it?
Yes, and what sort of career does he have?
Well, he's a wealthy man, as you
can
tell.
Well, what does she care? She's the CEO of an aircraft company.
Maybe he's a CEO of an airline supply company.
Oh, well, that's... That's not going to work in the contracting world.
Maybe he's a rail, a railway conglomerate.
Or a steel magnate?
Steel magnate or an aluminum magnate. Or maybe he owns airports. Maybe he's a wealthy entrepreneur. Well, as the ACE test pilot drives back into the city.
Again, editor's note. So Hal sees a UFO, asterisk, editor's note, UFO equals unidentified flying object.
Do we need to know that?
Well, I just think that it didn't, like, people knew what a UFO was in the 60s. I'm fairly certain.
Okay, well.
And we had that last week, too, someone said a flying saucer. Days we call flying saucers UFOs.
Maybe we need to do some work. Maybe we need to do just a tad bit of research before our next podcast.
You mean before our next show, our new show? Like this podcast, it's too late to do any research.
It's too late.
Well, he's got to put Carol out of his mind because he's got to chase this UFO. So into the alley he ducks.
Now, does he have to take off his clothes or does he just use his ring and boom, it's done?
I always assumed he used his rings, but if you flip back to page 4, it shows him changing
clothes. Yeah, changing clothes right there in front of Pie Face.
Right in front of Tom.
Yeah. Oh, I said Pie Face. Oh, do you hear the plane?
I do. We have an air base very nearby, you know.
Mm.
In fact, we have two farms behind, they have an airstrip right in their farm.
For private air.
Yes, sure. Moments later, he trails the mysterious object to a high-rise, and what does he see? Dazzler. If he's not mistaken, that's the Dazzler.
Dazzler. What a horrible costume the Dazzler has.
It's not great.
It's awful. That, especially the mask, the combination of the mask and the, what are those things called, like the shoulder things that come off.
Flares.
Shoulder flares. That's cool.
Yeah, he's got like...
It's awful.
So a purple chainmail bodysuit.
Mm.
One of those... Is it a lucha mask? Those Mexican wrestlers?
That's a really good... I don't know if that's what you call it, but that's exactly what it looks like.
Armored shoulder flares that are red, and then some kind of blue bib... Shorts combination that fits over his bodysuit.
Looks like he just went to the Goodwill and got whatever he could to cover his body.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does Green Lantern know the identity of this amazing criminal? Well, be patient.
He went to the Sagrada Market. The Sagrada Flea Market.
He's in the process of robbing a safe here in...
As you can see from the bills falling out of his bag.
Money scattering everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they must be walking back.
By the way, in the children's choir today, I've been bribing the children with imitation money so that they'll behave. It doesn't work. But anyway, they got their little handout of money today.
Uh-huh.
And this little boy...
What's on the dollar?
Captain Butler. They're Butler bucks.
Oh, that's so cute.
This little boy stood up on a chair and was throwing money, says, "Now it's going to rain money." I said, "That's not appropriate for your age, young man." Now, Green Lantern's ring does not seem to be working on this gentleman, the Dazzler.
Mm-hmm.
He instantly pivots, that's what we call it in business, and tackles him with his bare hands. Launches himself right across the room, and now this Dazzler fellow flies up into the air.
Now, what is Hal Jordan's weakness? Yellow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And before him...
Alan Scott.
Alan Scott, his weakness was wood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mine so this is too. Only the second Green Lantern in comics, then?
Correct.
Right. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah.
So the Dazzler is shooting up like a rocket under his own power. He's not supposed to be able to do that. How does Hal know? Stay tuned.
Mm.
He's flying straight up at a ceiling beam to try to knock Hal off of his legs. Hal manages to swing him into another beam, knocking him senseless for a moment. They're both falling now to the floor. And... Hal is ready to attack this gentleman, and he disappears in a flash of light.
Knocks Hal out. Like, Al lurches towards him, is blinded by dazzling light, and falls onto his head and knocks himself unconscious. And the Dazzler just takes off.
Yeah, Dazzler teleported is what had happened.
No, because he's in the next... Oh, I see. Yes, he
teleported across the room.
Yes, yes, yes.
When Hal comes to, the Dazzler is gone. And he's got to get to the bottom of it.
He does.
Why is he so mystified?
Listen, in this case. I hate it when the editor talks to us. I really don't like it. We're totally in the story. Why do they have to say, why is GL so mystified? Read on, reader. Read on.
Just speaking from my own experience, if there was no editorial note when I was 8 years old, I would have thought the Dazzler was a well-known pre-existing character, and I would have been obsessed with finding every appearance that he'd made previously.
Lots of trips to the Columbus Library to find that out. No. Or your own personal collection.
Oh, no, I'd have to go to Monkey's Retreat comic shop.
Yeah, because there was no such thing as the internet back then.
No.
No.
And the Grandview Heights Public Library did have limited comics.
Okay.
Mostly
coffee but wasn't tables. There like a History of Comics book that you used to check out quite often?
Oh, yeah, but that wouldn't have someone like the Dazzler in it.
Oh, true. Okay. So now we go back to Tom's place.
Yes.
And Tom is watching the live television show of the Dazzler.
Yes. It's a television program, which Tom never misses if he can help it.
He's eating a sandwich and drinking a soda pop.
Yes. The special effects on the show are terrific. The way the Dazzler flies, the tricks he does, that's what makes the show so good. Even if it stars a criminal, it's in the new camp style and not to be taken seriously. He's, of course, referring to the Batman television show. So off on television, the Dazzler flies off. Tom muses that the Dazzler always gets caught at the end of the week's final episode, but then every Monday he's miraculously escaped jail and is back in action.
So the television announcer says, "Kiddies of all ages, let us remind you that this is all in fun and that crime does not pay. Until tomorrow, then, when we dazzle you again." Dazzle.
So it's a daily television program.
Oh, my God. Daily serial? That's a lot. That's high production costs. They must have a huge audience.
So Hal knows that Tom's going to be alone for the evening, so he flies over to his apartment, grabs a sandwich and a soda pop, and tells him all about the fight. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, Tom keeps a Green Lantern casebook, so he wants to tag along with Hal now and jot down all the occurrences.
Right.
And he thinks it's a great idea to just go ahead and put on a suit for this adventure. Hal knows that he's, you know, has fought what he assumes to be the Dazzler from TV, because the criminal looked exactly like the actor who plays the Dazzler and even talked like him. And Tom says it couldn't be him because they just finished the program. I was watching it.
And he says, well, unless the show is taped, I better check that out right now.
Wait. Take me with you. This is my chance to watch you in action for my casebook of Green Lantern.
All right, Pi, come along. Now, why couldn't Hal just, like, instead of tucking Pi under his arm, Tom under his arm, which he does. He tucks him under, like just, here we go, like a satchel.
Yep.
Why couldn't he just conjure up a little chair for him to fly along in the sky with him? Or a sidecar. Why couldn't he make... He could make a motorcycle and a sidecar and ride it through the sky.
He could literally make anything.
Anything he can think of. Instead, he scoops him up under his arm.
Well, I mean, we've already had a scene where he's changing clothes in front of him, and now he just scoops him up in his arm.
He's just a close friend, I guess, you know? Mm-hmm. I just like to, you know, get the benefit of the doubt.
Sure, sure. Now, Hal, they get to the studio. Hal says if it was live, the actor should still be here, and sure enough, they are.
They are.
The director confirms that the show is live. Everyone connected with it is right here if you want to question them.
He says, I'm Ken Baldwin. I play the part of the Dazzler.
I'm Al Surin, one of the policemen.
Tom Jennings, district attorney.
I'm Henry Peters, the special effects man on the show.
Okay.
He looks cross.
So, Ken Baldwin, who's the Dazzler, says, I was here during the entire hour, Green Lantern.
That clears you, Mr. Baldwin.
His voice is uncannily like the mystery criminal, but it could simply mean that the real crook is imitating him in every way.
So after a brief investigation, they find no clues at all.
He says, it's a baffler, all right. If I didn't know an actual crime had been committed, I'd almost think that my encounter with the Dazzler was a hallucination on my part, brought on by the shock I received just before I met him, at the news Carol handed me. News? What about, GL?
I never told you. I never did get to propose to Carol. Before I had a chance, she told me she was marrying another man.
Jumping fish hooks. That must have been a tough one to take, GL.
It was. I walked out of there reeling. I still don't know what I'm going to do.
And look at him. His eyes are wide open and he's pounding his fists. When I think, it's this character of Green Lantern which has always stood between Carol and me. At first she claimed to be in love with me as Green Lantern, and she would never take me seriously as Hal Jordan.
After that, my duties as Green Lantern too often kept me away from Coast City and away from her. She met this fellow, they fell in love, and now she's marrying him. I've lost her forever.
Yes, I've lost her because of my role as Green Lantern. I'll tell you the truth, I feel like chucking the whole thing, the ring, the power battery, the whole Crusader business. Why do I have to carry such a burden?
Well, there's a solution, Hal. You just tell her you're a Green Lantern.
Yeah, hello.
You already told Tom here. And nothing bad has come of it, except you have to carry him around in your arms all over town. Listen, remember this adventure of yours with the girl Green Lantern? That would be Kat Matui, the girl Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. Remember when you told her then, what you told her then when she wanted to give up her role as Green Lantern?
Yes, I do remember. Once a Green Lantern, always a Green Lantern. That's what I told her.
Thanks, Tom. You've set me straight. I won't ever talk about quitting as Green Lantern. Whatever happens, I'll never quit.
I knew it, GL. Now let's take care of this Dazzler criminal, huh?
Right. So, we know the TV Dazzler can't be the mystery criminal because he was on view on TV all the time that real-life crime took place. But now that I think about it, there is one man I'd like to learn more about.
Who's that?
The special effects man, Henry Peters. The Dazzler show is especially known for its special effects.
That's right, the stunts are terrific.
Now, if I'm right, the mystery criminal won't strike again until showtime tomorrow night, just as he did tonight. That gives us some time to investigate this Peters.
Good idea, GL. As long as you take me with you.
Now, this Peters, they find him walking through the park. He's got a rough countenance.
Yes.
A heavy brow with almost grow-together eyebrows.
Deep lines in his face.
Red hair, which you know means trouble always.
Mm-hmm. High tolerance for pain.
Right. So instead of questioning him, Green Lantern's going to use his ring to probe his mind against this fellow's will.
But...
because that's always a great idea.
He cannot break through.
No. There seems to be some barrier surrounding his mind. My ring can't get past it. I've got to stop him. There's something strange going on.
So an instant later, they bound up ahead of him.
Get away from me!
He scoots off, and Green Lantern sends a energy beam hand after him.
To grab him up, snatch him up bald-headed, but he doesn't,
no.
And the man falls.
He falls and knocks his head against a public park drinking fountain, which you know is made of cement, so he's probably dead.
He's just unconscious. He's not really hurt, GL says. He'll come too soon. Meanwhile, I'm going to use my ring to try to penetrate his mind again. Maybe I can get past the barrier while he's unconscious, eh?
Great Guardians!
I'm getting through the barrier, but what I'm receiving is fantastic. I'll tune you in, Tom, so you can receive the same mental impressions I'm receiving through my ring.
I am not the criminal you seek. My real name is Kali Ibor of the 12th planet of the star Aldrin. On my home world of Aethor, I was just an unimportant person. One of those who worked each day serving scholars and students in the great data center of Aethor City.
Here's the Mento spool you asked for, sir, dealing with the complete inventions on our world during the last 1,000 years.
So this is a room full of people in old-timey hairdryer helmets.
That's right.
And I guess this fellow, Ibor, just plugs in a memory disk and it implants the knowledge right into their brain.
That sounds awesome.
I know, right? Plus you get a blowout.
Yes, you get your hair. They probably all had perms, all the students, all the scholars. All our learning was kept in Mento spools, which communicated their contents directly to the mind of the reader. After hours, it was my duty to store away the spools. So he was basically a librarian.
Yes, discontent and unhappy with his lot. Then, one night, He finds an odd spool that someone's been using called Quaint Customs on Other Worlds.
I'm curious what those quaint customs could be.
Against regulations, I remained behind after closing and inserted the spool in a Mento transmitter.
On planet XK12B3, or is that 83? 1283, the inhabitants indulge in frivolous pursuits like those of our earliest ancestors. For example, many of them regularly attend the theater.
A theater? What on Ethor?
In theatrical entertainments, men and women called actors played out roles in a story on a platform termed a stage. You will now see part of a typical drama on XK1283, scanned for our records.
It's a love story, apparently, because this man is clutching a woman and screaming, "I'll never give you up! Let them destroy me! I'll never abandon you!"
He's watching this with his Mento helmet. He says, yes. How exciting this drama is. How thrilling.
Now I know what my interest in life is. It's the theater! I must work in the theater! But how can I? There's nothing like drama or plays on Ethor. We've become too sober, too serious.
Suddenly I realized what I must do. Go to planet XK1283. Its inhabitants are much like us Ethorians. I'll be able to start a new life and take up the theater as a career.
It's against regulations to teleport oneself out of the galaxy. I know I'm risking prison, but I'll risk anything to attain my goal of performing in theater.
With my access to data spools, it was easy for me to find out the exact cosmic coordinates of XK1283. All I have to do is set these dials properly and turn the teleporter power up to full, and almost it seemed like that very moment.
Gasp!
I'm here. Is this the planet I aim for?
It was! XK1283, as you may have guessed, was none other than your Earth, where I now proceeded to make myself at home. I must be careful not to use any of the mental superpowers I possess, which are so ordinary on Ethor, but apparently unknown here. I shall use only telepathy to learn the language.
But I soon found out that learning the language and using it were two different things. Yes, we need an actor for the role, but your accent is too thick, Mr. Peters. Sorry. This is the tenth play director that has refused me. Play director.
Yes.
Okay.
So. In my desperation, with no way to turn, there was only one course open to me.
Television!
I've landed a menial job with a new program called
The Dazzler.
It's not acting, but as they say here, beggars can't be choosers. At least I'm in showbiz.
However, my job...
Great Guardians, he's coming too. That's all been a flashback, by the way, listener. Mm-hmm. He's coming too. There's no time to have that story interrupted. So Hal has to take quick action by punching him in the face and knocking him back out.
He was knocked unconscious.
Yeah.
Before by hitting his head on a cement water fountain.
Yeah.
Now Hal's knocking him unconscious again.
And back into the flashback we go. My job was to help with the special effects, and one day during a rehearsal...
These crude effects are laughable when I think of what I could do with the show by mere bit of mental concentration, but I don't dare reveal my powers. It would give me away.
So, just to be clear, they are filming a television program about a super criminal with superpowers... And it's filmed live,
mm-hmm.
including the special effects.
Mm-hmm. 5 days a week.
Five days a week. As luck would have it, just at this time in this memory, a wire holding the Dazzler character snaps and he's about to fall to his death. But what's his face? Ebor cannot restrain himself. He automatically reacts to prevent disaster, uses his mental force to lift the Dazzler to safety, up on a balcony up above.
Sure enough, most of those present were puzzled, but not suspicious.
The wire must have broken just before you landed, eh, Ken Baldwin, actor?
Well, the actor was a little suspicious of his special effects man.
He corners Mr. Peters. That wire didn't break just before I landed, did it, Peters? It broke in the middle of the room, but you did something!
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Baldwin.
You, now, that night, they're leaving the studio, and Ken Baldwin trails Mr. Peters to have a talk with him.
You go my way, Peters. Mind if we walk together?
So he's still thinking through the Green Lantern beam. Mm-hmm. I won't describe in detail how Baldwin managed to worm my secret from me. Suffice to say, he was patient and enormously cunning. He masked his intentions, even from me, pretended to be my friend, and I needed a friend. Finally, I told him all about me, swore him to secrecy.
He told him everything.
Everything.
About the planet he was from, the super scientific civilization, and how he learned to become, he wanted to be an actor.
At once, he demanded that I teach him how to use the superpowers of the mind. I was reluctant, but he was very, very persuasive.
He promised him that he would only use the power that he taught him for special effects.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be careful. Don't worry, Mr. Peters. Just tell me how to do it.
So he became his tutor.
Show me all your secrets.
So innocently, he became his tutor. Swiftly, he made progress.
Yes, he learned how to levitate a cat and learned so fast that he soon outstripped me, his teacher.
That's right.
That's the way it always happens. And in an unguarded moment, he took control over me.
From now on, Peters, you will have no thoughts of your own. You will do only as I direct you. I'll never risk you giving your incredible secrets to anyone else. Never.
He paralyzed my conscious mind, made me an automaton. Automaton?
Really? Automaton.
Oh. Shut up, I hate you.
You sound like me.
But your ring has penetrated to my subconscious, Green Lantern, where he cannot reach. I must warn you, my mind is still in contact with his, and so I know that he is about to commit a most audacious crime even at this moment. You must stop him, Green Lantern. Undo the evil I have unwittingly unleashed.
The site of the crime is unfamiliar to me, but I can send you a mental picture of it.
That's good enough. Take care of him while I'm gone, Tom. This time I'm going to defeat the Dazzler, match him trick for trick.
And off Green Lantern flies.
Now, we're burying the lead, which is that presumably the entire population of Earth is capable of these advanced mental powers.
Oh, yeah.
And for whatever reason, we are choosing not to utilize them.
Oh, very good. I hadn't thought of that, actually.
Across the city flashes an emerald lightning bolt. According to what Green Lantern learned from Peters' subconscious mind, the Dazzler is breaking into the Museum of Ancient Art right now to steal its most priceless possession, the fabulous and unique St. George sculpture of Don Angelo.
And at that moment, the Dazzler says, "My foray earlier this evening was just a tryout to test my powers and to establish an alibi. Now that I've proven that actor Ken Baldwin could not possibly be committing thefts as the Dazzler, I'm really going to begin my criminal career in earnest. My powers are so enormous, I can have anything I want. I can gratify every whim. And as whim number one, I want this famous sculpture, so I'll just take it, eh?"
That's an odd first whim, if you can do anything you want. I'm going to steal a statue. Mm. Where are you going to put it, Ken? You're an actor. You probably have
Cold water flat somewhere.
Right. Studio apartment. Mm-hmm. There's not even enough room for a bed.
I don't know.
As Green Lantern approaches and his mighty beam lances out, still no effect on the Dazzler. Mm-mm. Like he's made of yellow wood or something. But the Dazzler cannot hurt Hal either. His ring protects him from a lethal bolt of mind energy that it was just hurled at him. But the Dazzler says, "You can't hold me off for long because look at this. I'm going to split into three people."
And he does. He splits himself into three. He adds two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two duplicates.
Yeah, two duplicates.
Nothing else Hal can do except
fight them all.
Stick his ass straight out at us, at the reader, and fight them all. Punch, fist, pow. All these three Dazzlers can also punch.
Mm-hmm. And they have, their strength doesn't diminish by dividing.
No.
Actually, they're all just as strong as Dazzler.
Hal makes a little gymnastics move and flips backwards out of their grip. So
they all punch each other.
Yeah. And then he throws one of them into the other two, keeps punching. Hal has taken care of one of the Dazzlers, knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
And Hal thinks to himself now, if the one I've knocked out were a duplicate, then the real Dazzler would create another duplicate to take its place. But since he hasn't, it could mean that I've KO'd the real Dazzler.
So then he says, well, I've knocked out, while he's knocked out, the real Dazzler,
yeah.
My ring ought to be able to penetrate his mind, grapple with those super mental powers of his, and eliminate them. But I've only got an instant. The other two are coming at me.
Yes, as a mighty mystic beam carries out its task with swift and formidable efficiency, the other two do disappear.
That's amazing. He says, it's working. I've erased the superpowers of my foe, and automatically those two duplicate creations of himself are fading, vanishing from existence.
Through the night, on the Green Lantern Express, he is flying the Dazzler, a.k.a. Ken Baldwin, to the police. And after the defeated actor, stripped of all his unique powers, has landed behind bars.
And of course, Baldwin establishes a seemingly perfect alibi by creating a duplicate of himself to commit the first crime, while he himself appeared on the television show at the same time.
What a story!
But I can't linger, gentlemen. There's still something I've got to take care of right away. Zoom!
Gee, interviewing Green Lantern is like trying to interview Chain Lightning.
So he jumps in on Tom, and he says, Tom, where's Peters? What happened?
He's gone. I couldn't stop him. I'll explain.
And here comes a page full of lots of dialogue.
Yes. So when you knocked out the Dazzler, it released Peters from the Dazzler's control. Right after that, he came to. He knew everything that had happened.
Oh, he says, go on, Tom. Then what happened?
When he awoke, he just looked at me and I couldn't move a muscle. Then he spoke. I realize now that I should never have broken the laws of Aethor. I should never have come here. My presence here can be a constant source of danger for you Earthlings, because some criminal may seek to misuse my power, or literally any other person on Earth, because everyone on Earth presumably has the capability to learn how to use these powers. That's an editor's note I just stuck in there.
So he paused, and somehow I knew he was thinking of his ambition to become an actor, an ambition destined now never to be fulfilled. Well, that's a noble ambition, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank Green Lantern for freeing me from the Dazzler and restoring my powers to me. I'm going to use them now to reverse the teleportation process and return home. Goodbye, friend.
So long. In the next instant, he was just gone, just like that.
Yeah. So, he's gone back to face the music. Well, maybe they'll be easy on him on his world, seeing that he gave himself up voluntarily. Or if he does go to prison, maybe he'll start an acting company.
Gee, that's a thought, says Tom. So, the next panel, we have a guy hawking a paper.
Extry, extry, Green Lantern captures the Dazzler.
GL, you're the greatest. What would Coast City do without you?
Tom, I have news for you. Coast City may have to do without me.
What do you mean?
I mean that I can't stay here in the same city with Carol, knowing that she will be married to another man. I'm going to leave Coast City. This is now a place of bitter memories for me.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
In Hal Jordan's hangar dressing room, shortly after. You're taking your power battery?
Yes, I'm going to take it with me, invisibly, wherever I go.
But, GL, shouldn't you think it over a little more?
I have thought it over. I've made my decision and it's final.
But where will you go? What will you do?
I don't know. I'll be in touch with you, Tom, and whatever happens, I'll never forget you. Goodbye, old friend. Goodbye.
And I'll never forget you, Green Lantern. Never.
And so Hal Jordan becomes a wanderer, a drifter. Where will his next adventure take place? Don't miss the following issue of Green Lantern. What?
I can't believe it. He's leaving Coast City. That's it.
Leaving Coast City. Carol, Tom, everything.
Everything.
His brother? Doesn't he have a brother and sister-in-law in Coast City?
Heartbroken. Everything.
Well, that's... Usually it's the woman who loses her mind and leaves town.
not the superhero. Yeah. There you go. Oh, what's this? What's he doing?
Oh. What? Who?
What's this? Pave it. Oh, it's the paving guy.
Is he...
Oh,
he creeps around the neighborhood all the time and tries to get...
No, we're not answering the door if he comes
okay.
in. No. Just let up there bark and bark.
Well, the window's open. You can probably hear us talking.
Fine.
Hey, I have... What was that?
He just pulled into her driveway and honked the horn. She's not even home. I saw her
Good
leave.
Good night.
I know. What does he think he's doing?
I'm calling the police.
Oh, I'm going to call... I'm calling them right now.
Okay. All right. I don't have anything else,
honestly. I don't either. You're not going to read anything from Green Lantern's mail chute?
What do we have in there?
I didn't read anything, so...
Did it say, please have Green Lantern leave Coast City? Nothing would make us happier?
No, nothing at all. Oh, dear Lord.
I do remember, you know, in the 70s, I remember Green Lantern going back to work at Ferris Aircraft.
Okay.
And being like a big deal, like, oh, here's Tom and here's Carol, and please don't call me Pie Face, that's insulting. And that's why I tried not to call him Pie Face.
Okay. All right.
And so, I mean, I did know that he had left and done something else. And I remember for a while he was like a trucker, like a toy salesman trucker or something.
Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I guess I, you know, should have realized that there would have been an issue where he would explicitly leave and just go off and do odd jobs.
Is this the issue?
This is it.
Oh, wow. Lucky for us.
Yeah. Well, you can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. We're not drifting anywhere.
No.
You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. And guess what?
What?
You can find us right back here next week.
If you're lucky.
with Hawkman.
Hawkman, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You bet it is.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy this beautiful weather. I hope we don't have another blast of winter coming through. Oh, he's leaving, isn't he?
Okay,
he's driving away.
He's probably going to drive right up into our driveway.
No, he's driving the other direction.
Okay, good.
Good, good.
Yeah, keep your driveways safe, everyone, and wear sunscreen. Bye!